The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, to be broadcast on October 11th, 2023, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly host, co-host in the background here, Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment and we should be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to lend some information to Bicycle Talk, you can reach me either right here at the Facebook page or also at Bicycle Talk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week. All right. You don't need to go gravel, road riders. Everybody's gone gravel. I worked a gravel event this weekend, so I'm kind of all, it's all about gravel right now. But it is all about gravel. It's all these people are giving up on riding on the road to ride gravel bikes. I mean, I get it. It's fun. I understand it. I couldn't drag anyone on my road bike on a gravel road years ago to save myself because they were just, oh my God, it's a dirt road. What am I going to do? Now everybody wants to do it. What's with that? That's my rant. That's it. I'm not giving up on this. And I'll get into the show a little bit deeper here and we will talk about a case for not giving up on the road. What are you doing back there, Fran?
Fussing.
Yeah, that's not good. So anyway, we're trying to keep our lighting down and Fran is bringing more light into my background. Anyway. So on a positive side, I just worked the Lime Rock Park Epic Mountain, a gravel bike weekend. It was really fun. It was a great time. My friend Richard Fries puts it on, and he also put on the Natchog Epic, which is epic because it's become very, very large. So it's a really, really big event. And he's working on doing the same thing out at Lime Rock Park over on the western part of the state. It was really cool. I had a great time. I got to not only MC the event, but I also got to ride in the 18-mile, which turned into 20-mile express route, which was fun. And I was riding with some people towards the back, trying to, keep everybody together as much as I could and also help out those that were a little less familiar with riding on the gravel bike than others. And so I did the, what we call the back away, not the breakaway. And, anyway, I got to talk to people about why they don't ride their road bikes anymore. And yet we were riding on the road for part of this ride. Anyway, never mind. We won't get into that. Yes, we will get into that. I'll talk about it later. So anyway, the ride was beautiful. It was way out in the western part of the state. It started at Lime Rock Park, and any of you who are into motor car racing, Lime Rock Park is kind of a special place, and it's where Paul Newman used to race his car, and it's just a fabulous facility. It was really, really cool. I got to broadcast from up in the tower, with my mic, and no one could even see me as I was calling out, finishers when they're coming in, and I was just up there, with my little remote mic doing my thing. It was fun. It was really fun. And it's just a beautiful way to finish because what you do end up doing when you finish is you get onto the track and you do a lap, a complete lap around the track to finish. So you get to ride your bike where the race cars go, which is kind of cool. So that was fun. That was really a great time. Let's see, what else is on the positive side? Next Sunday, this Sunday coming up, October 15th, is the Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross Race. Yeah, since 1983. 40 years of cyclocross at Mansfield Hollow State Park. I started it 40 years ago. We had a few interruptions along the way, and it continues to be one of the old-timer cyclocross races that happen here in New England. So I was one of the founding, or as Richard tells me, I am one of the grandfathers of New England cyclocross grandfathers. I don't have that much gray hair, do I? Maybe. Anyway, the race is coming up. I'm frantically putting together everything I need to put together and make everything happen. Still got a few things that are coming in that were a little delayed, but that's okay. We're good. We're in good shape. Next thing on my positive side is working with my friend Richard Fries. This is a shout out to Richard. Richard has been an event coordinator for just a really, really long time, and as I have too. So we kind of have some history between the two of us, and we got to work together again this weekend, which was really, really fun. He's kind of like me in some many ways. We both bounce around like pinballs, if you know what a pinball machine is, if you're that age to actually know what a pinball is. It's entertaining to work with us. Some people find it frustrating, but I find it entertaining. So I love working with Richard because, you know, I just kind of watch him and I kind of laugh and then I go, oh my God, I'm going to be this in a week. And I will be. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to be the, you know, classic race director who's like frantically pulling his hair out. I got a lot to pull out, but that's all right. So I got room there. But anyway, he did this thing. We had a staff meeting before everything happened. I just thought this was just brilliant, first of all. To have the staff meeting was brilliant. It was great. It was before registration opened, before anybody else arrived. And, you know, we had a lot of people doing a lot of different jobs to make the whole event go off. But I loved the presentation, and so I took a picture of it. And I have it here in front of me right now. So I just want to go over this, and it's titled Mantras. All right. Number one, it's just a bike ride. Such a perfect thing. Anyway, number two, do your job, not anybody else's job, your job. So whatever you're assigned to do, you do. Hey, I've got you. You're doing parking. So that's it. You don't do anything else. And when you're done doing parking, you can come back and talk to me. But, you know, your job is to do parking or whatever it is, you know. Speak in plural. We, not I. That's a good one. Yeah. No, I is not a word you use when you're doing an event. You talk about we because we are a team and we work together, and that's the way it works. And it's great. It's great. It's good. Very good thing. Here's a favorite. Number four, be a flight attendant, not a cop. Right. So what's the difference between a flight attendant? Well, flight attendant is there to make everybody feel good and get things taken care of if things need to get taken care of, not to scream and yell at people, but to just keep everyone calm in a very calm and rational way. So great. That's good. He has a thing called the Marriott rule here, which I don't 100% remember what the Marriott rule is, but I believe it's a kindness and level-headed presentation type of thing. Like, it's so nice to have you here today. What can we do for you? How can I be of service? That sort of thing. That's what you're doing. That's a good mantra. I like that. Don't run, walk. Now, this one I kind of looked at and said, well, what's that all about? Richard said, the last thing I want to have is one of my staff injured because they ran from one spot to another spot to get something done, and they tripped and fell, and now we have a new crisis on our hand. We don't want any crises with our employees of the event. We want everybody to be healthy and in good spirits. So that's the run, don't run, walk. Number seven, don't yell, talk. Yeah, right. Yeah. So no yelling across the venue, no trying to get anything done by screaming out at anyone or whatever. Just talk. Just talk. Be calm. Talk. Kind of like the way that I try to approach irate drivers when they feel that they need to make a statement about, you know, what they just did, which was wrong, but they want to make sure that you feel like you were wrong. You just got to talk to them. That's all. Just calm down and talk to them. Number eight, make every second count. Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't waste any time. Get your job done. That goes back to number two. And don't waste any time. You know, just keep moving. Keep moving the whole time. which brings me to a note where I'm finishing up my 18/20-mile ride, and I'm coming in, and as I'm going through, Richard is directing traffic into the track, and he's like, "All right, Ron, welcome back." He goes, "Can you get on the mic as soon as you get back?" So, you know, anyway, it's just got every second counts. So, if you think, this is a good one, number nine, if you think you're going too slow, go a little slower. Yeah, just slow down, calm down, breathe. We had a yoga instructor there from Kripalu Yoga, and she actually was leading us in yoga the night before, which didn't happen actually, but she's very nice. She's very nice about it, but no one really wanted to do the yoga, which is unfortunate. I would love to do the yoga with a trained 17-year Kripalu specialist. Absolutely.
That would be great.
Oh, I know you would have done it, Fran, and you sound like you're in another room from all the way back there, remember? We need to get closer to the mic. Anyway, so she actually did a relaxation breathing chant to start the ride yesterday, which was kind of cool. I don't think anyone's ever done that before. Richard says no one's ever done it before, so I'm going to assume he's right. But anyway, so that's number nine. And remember from the beginning, number 10, it's just a bike ride. That's it. It's just a bike ride, okay? Don't get all bent out of shape about anything. It's just a bike ride. That's all it is. So these rides were kind of cool because there are segments out there on the course, and those segments are timed. And we have a really cool timing service that does this for us, and they have mats out on the course. And so the segment is timed, and they take the top three times, and that's how they score the winner of the event, the winner of the not race, because this isn't a race, but it's kind of a race. It's just kind of a race within a race. So it's just what it is. But anyway, I just wanted to go over Richard's mantras because I just think they're great. I love it. It was funny. It was amusing. I was smiling the entire time he was making this presentation, and he kept looking over at me. We were just kind of smiling back and forth with one another because he knows I know. We've both been down this road before.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Well, if you've been an event promoter for over, you know, 20 years, you kind of get an idea that, you know, all this stuff kind of makes sense. And I thought it was brilliant, and I might steal some of this stuff from Richard because I think, you know, he's got some good suggestions here. It's really good. I just want all my people to be happy so that they come back and do it again the following year. And I've been told that if I have a bottle of something very, very cold in my freezer for after it's all over on Sunday night, that my friend Christian will join me for a little drink.
A tipple.
Is it a tipple or a tickle?
Tipple.
It's a tipple. All right. So anyway, moving on. Mechanical minute and cycling tips. Taping and gluing tubulars the Belgian way. Yeah, tubular tires on cyclocross bikes. All right, yeah, some people are still running them, and I don't blame them. I would not run anything but that if I were in a very competitive place, because you've probably heard it here before. I'm not a big tubeless tire guy on a road slash cross bike. I think they're wonderful, wonderful on mountain bikes. I think it's a great invention. It works really well. But I'm just not really thrilled with the whole idea about putting it on a road style or mountain style bike, because you can burp them and they will, you know, let out a little bit of sealant and they'll let out a little bit of air, or you can go for the full-blown belch where they don't just burp, they literally throw up. And when they do that, you are without tires. You are without tires completely. And I've seen it happen so many times. And you see a rider running back to the pit, and they get into the pit, and they have to take their pit bike out, and their pit bike just happens to have a pair of tubular tires on it. Should have done that in the first place. But they were convinced by either their friends or the local bike shop or whoever said that tubeless is the answer. The tubular tires are old school. You should never go there. Well, you know what? There's a little BS there. I'll leave it at that. I can't really swear on the radio because I'm not allowed to do that, but we know what I'm talking about. So taping and gluing tubulars the Belgian way. Why did I bring this up? Because people are still doing this. So I just kind of wanted to go over this and talk about it a little bit and, you know, let you know what this is all about. So it brings me to a story where a friend of mine called and said, "Hey, Ron, my boyfriend just rolled two freshly glued tires off of his rims at his first cross race. Can you help me?" And I asked who glued them, and she said, well, it was XYZ bike shop, and I guess they didn't really know. And I said, oh God, they probably just glued them on with a couple of layers of glue and that was it. And yeah, that doesn't work when you're riding tires at 20 pounds of pressure on off camber surfaces. And you can do that with tubulars, and you can do it with tubeless too, but boy, you're taking a huge risk, because that's when they, like, what did I say? Not burp, belch. Yeah. More throw up. Anyway, so to glue a tubular tire on properly, there is something called the Belgian method. And the Belgian method, of course, or the Belgian way, is something that's been practiced for years. Obviously, we know the Belgians are probably the best cyclocross riders in the world, always have been, probably still will be for a while, but anyway, Wout Van Aert, yeah, all those guys, all of them. There's just a whole, there's a multitude of them. They're also becoming these top-end, top-star professional cyclocross stars are all becoming great one-day racers, too. They're all turning into the monument winners. But we have a little bit more about the monument last weekend coming up later in the show. If I have time for it, I'll talk about that, because it was a big monument race this past weekend, and it was a real question as to who of the big superstars were going to win it. And anyway, we'll talk about that later if I get around to it. So let's talk about the multi-step process of gluing cyclocross tires. It is overwhelming. Yeah, sure it is. But this is what you have to do. And this is what I ended up doing for my friend. And he, you know, brought his bike over, and he's very sad because he had these two brand new, very, very expensive tires that he had glued on at the bike shop. And like I said, he hit the first off camber and just slid those suckers right off the rim. And now he has no bike. So that's just not good. You gotta really, really go through this. So I called my friend Joe at Joe's Garage. Shout out to Joe's Garage up in Massachusetts, because I knew Joe knew how to do this. I called on him as a sales rep, and I was still repping at that time. So I called Joe and said, "Hey Joe, tell me about this Belgian thing. Is it really true? Do you really have to do it?" He goes, "Don't even second guess it, Ron. It works. It really does." I said, "What happens when you want to take the tires off?" And he goes, "Give yourself some time when you want to take the tires off. It's not an easy thing." But he said, "They won't come off if you do this. You totally won't come off if you do this. So what do you do? What is the Belgian concoction? That's a good question. So here it comes. you use rim tape. I'm not a fan of rim tape. I've never been a fan of rim tape. I like glue, but I'm just riding on the road, so I don't need anything more than glue on the road if I glue my tires properly. That opens yet another can of worms, and I've watched people not glue their wheels properly either, and then they'll roll a tire. So you're saying, why do I want to ride tubulars, right? This is crazy. I'm gonna roll a tire? What's that all about? When you got them on, you got them on right, there's nothing like riding on a tubular. And it's on the road bike, it adheres to the road better when you're going into turns. I think that's my favorite part about it, is I can pretty much carve out a downhill on my tubulars with so much more confidence on those tires than I have on my clinchers. I just think my clinchers are a little not so great. I am told that the new tubeless ones are much, much better. I am sure they probably are, but at the same time, I am, again, not convinced. And, of course, if I don't try them, I will never be convinced. Is that correct? Right. It is. It is definitely correct. I've kind of had a little camera problem here. Sorry about that, folks. I'm sure it would be better for some people in some instances. I know that there are many people that complain about tubular tires because they're expensive and, you know, getting all that glue all over you and all that stuff. But, you know, that doesn't really bother me. I don't really get all that glue all over me, so I don't care because I know how to do it. And I've been doing it for so long that it's really not an issue for me. But anyway, tape. Tape is what it's all about. Uses tubular tape, all right? So there's a number of companies that make it. Tufo makes it. Vittoria makes it. There's newer tapes now that are even better than the old tapes are. I have friends who only tape their tires now and don't use glue anymore. But, you know, you gotta just use, anyway, the way it works. Simple, simple, simple. After stretching the tubular tire, apply one coat of your glue to the rim and the tire and let it set for 24 hours. Now, here's the big thing here. You must stretch your tubular tires. If you're going to glue a tubular tire, you do not take it what we call green and try to put it onto the rim. My tubular tires, if I'm putting it on a rim, it's been sitting on a dry rim for 6 months, maybe a year. I let them age. I let them stretch out a little bit. And they are so much easier to work with when they were already stretched to the shape of a rim. So I have a couple of old dead wheels that I use for doing that. I think it's a really, really good idea. And I stretch them over the rim and I put some air on the tires. I don't fully inflate them. I partially inflate them just enough to give them enough shape so that they're going to be in the shape that I want them to be in when I actually get around to gluing them. So anyway, a little bit on the tire, a little bit on the rim. Not a big little bit on the tire kind of guy, because then things can get messy, but you really gotta let that tire set up pretty good before you want to touch it and put it on, or else you are going to be wearing the glue, and the glue really, it works so well, it doesn't wear off very quickly. So anyway, second, you apply a second thin layer of glue to the rim and the tire. Once again, I don't go with the tire because I really only do one layer on the tire, not two. But you can do two if you want to take the time to do that. Once again, you have to take the time to make sure that it it dries enough so you don't end up wearing it. So then you're adding the tubular tape to the rim. Okay, so you're taping over the two layers of glue you've already put on the rim. Seems excessive? Yeah, it is. But guess what? It works. It really, really works. And then, so you add the tubular tape onto the rim and pressing it into the rim, and that's and that kind of smooths the tape out. So you're pushing down on it and smoothing it out. You peel the backing off the tape because it's double-sided, sticky-sided. So you then, because that's how you're pushing in on the part, the backing piece. And then that reveals the other side, adhesive side of the tape. And you put another, hang on tight, another thin layer of glue over the tape onto the rim. Seems like a lot, doesn't it? It really does. I did it the first time I did it. I went, boy, this just seems excessive. But let me tell you, you need vice grips to pull those tires off afterwards. It really, really works. So now you put your tire onto the rim. When you put your tire on the rim, critical part, valve goes in the valve hole first. Make sure you've got a hard, clean surface that you're pushing down against, and then you start from the valve and you work your way around, sort of like you would if you were putting a clincher tire on, always working away from the valve. You push and push and push and push until you get to the other side, and then you grab the tire, lift it up, and drop it down onto the rim. Now you you inflate your tubular to about 80 psi. And make sure it's properly seated and centered on the rim while the glue is still a little tacky and you can still move it around. And then lower the pressure down around 50 or 60 pounds and let the glue cure. That's it. Not that hard. I mean, it's time consuming. It's a little tedious, but you will not ever roll one of these tires if you do that. So that's the way to deal with the rolling tubular tire problem that some people may have. I still see people rolling tubulars in races, and it's like, who glued your tires, man? That's the first question you ask. Who glued your tires? Well, I did it. Yeah. Did you use the Belgian method? The what? Right. Enough said. So, yeah, that's the way the pros do it. It really, really works. It seems excessive. And yes, it is going to add some extra weight onto your wheels. And that is revolving weight because it's way on the outside. But who cares if your tire stays on? I'm not a big believer in riding on equipment that could have a problem with failure when you're racing your bike. Just you're not a pro, or maybe you are a pro. If you're a pro and you're listening to Bicycle Talk, I'm questioning why, but reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. So anyway, you're not a pro, and you know, just it doesn't really matter. It matters that you finish your race. You paid good money to get into the event. You want to finish the event. You want to go home and say, hey, I didn't have any mechanicals today. That's good. That's a good thing. So I'm not a big believer in super lightweight equipment on amateur racers. Unless you're, you know, looking to become a pro and that's the direction that you're heading and you're going to be uber and ultra competitive because of that. Otherwise, who cares? Equipment failure will take you out of a race. Equipment failure will end your race. And now you have no results. That's enough said. So anyway, now you've got these tires and they are stuck on there. And boy, trying to get them off is really, really tricky. You gotta, it says here, use a butter knife to gently peel the glue off the rim. I have a very heavy duty tire lever that I actually stick in my sew up sock when I'm out riding. And if I get a flat, I can always use that. It's very, very heavy duty. It's made by Lazine. It also has a very strong functional item on the other side of it called a bottle opener. So if you need to, you know, pop a bottle open, you've got the tool. But it's real heavy. You're not going to bend it. And if you have to use that to peel the tire off, then great. That's it. That's how you do it. And yeah, so I'm carrying a heavier weighted tire lever with me on my bike so that if I get a flat, I can fix my flat. Once again, I don't care about the weight. I care about the function, and I care about not having to deal with problems. So, and when I do deal with a problem, I want to make sure I can do it right. So I'll carry a little extra weight with me. Who cares? I don't care, obviously. So anyway, we are moving on here with tubular. I think that pretty much covers it, really. So the question is, if you've never ridden with a glued-on tubular tire for cyclocross, why not? Why not? It's a great thing. It really, really works well. So it's cool. It's a whole lot of fun, and that would be that. I think it's the better way to go. If you can't afford to go that method, and I understand these tires are not cheap. You know, a good set of tubular race tires is going to run you over $200. So you're going to be spending a lot of money on them. But again, if you get a full season out of them of racing, if you are racing, you're very serious about it, then you did okay. You may get more than one season out of them. It's quite possible. If you use sealant inside of the tires also, that'll save you a little bit too, because a little bit tiny puncture can be sealed up with the sealant. Make sure when you are buying tubular tires that are going to be glued on this permanently, that you get ones that have replaceable valves. Most of them do, but so you can put sealant in. But anyway, that's my mechanical minute, which was like a mechanical half hour, but that's okay. That's where we're at. This is what we're doing. We're on Bicycle Talk here today. Let's see, what else do I have? Back to content in the show. All right. So I talked about the whole gravel thing, and, you know, I am concerned about the fact that everybody is, you know, giving up on road biking to ride a gravel bike. I get it. I kind of get it. You know, it certainly has its merits, but don't give up on the road. The road is great. So I was chatting with these people, and they're saying that they just don't feel safe on the road anymore. So I explained to them about my radar that I have on the back of my bike and how it's really changed the game as far as that goes. I've had a number of listener comments on this too, of people who heard my show and said, hey, I put one of those things on my bike. I cannot believe the difference. You're totally right. I feel so much safer when I'm on the road. And again, it's a communication thing. When you're riding out in the middle of the road, which is certainly where you belong until a car comes, then a car comes up behind you and you immediately go over to the side of the road because you're being responsible. You bicycle advocate people out there, when you go over, you're sending a silent communication to the driver behind you that you know they are there. And then you ride your straightest and best line ever. And you don't wiggle around or try to, you know, swerve around a pothole or whatever is on the side of the road, which is another reason why you want to ride in the middle of the road. But anyway, and you give the driver of the motorized vehicle the indication that you know what you're doing, and they can feel much more confident in passing you. So you're actually talking to them without talking to them. So I explained this to a few people yesterday because I had a number of people that were asking questions. I also ran a dirt road clinic at the top of one of our climbs. We were waiting for a couple of folks, and when they all regathered, Richard had actually been there with a following vehicle, and he just looked at me and said, Ron, this is a Pedlin Ron moment. He said, why don't you do a clinic on dirt roads? And I went, sure, I'd love to. And I explained how to ride on a dirt road and why you shouldn't be so intimidated by it, the things to look for, the things to look out for. When I ride on dirt roads, I'll give you a quickie on the clinic. And when I ride on a dirt road, I look at the color of the road. If it's dark, then that's a good place I can ride. If it's light, I try to stay out of it, because the lighter the surface is on the dirt road, the more chances there's loose sand there. Bear in mind, I am not looking down when I'm riding my bike. another tip on this clinic. I am looking ahead. I'm looking at where I'm going to be in 10 seconds. And I'm always looking at what is coming up, not what is down below me. It's the old rule of mountain biking and cyclocross riding, and that is, if you look down, that is where you will fall. So you don't want to be paying any attention to what's underneath you at the time. You want to be looking straight ahead. So that brings in that second little tip that I talked about. The third little tip I talk about is, every once in a while, you're going to get yourself in one of those deep sand situations, and it's going to grab onto the bike, and the front end is going to go all over the place. And what most people do, just because it's human nature, is they grab the brakes. Don't ever do that. Don't grab the brakes. The brakes are not going to be your friend in this situation. The brakes are actually going to turn into a quick stop and tip over situation. So what you want to do instead is, you start feeling the bike starting to swim, so to speak, in one direction or the other, especially the front end. Is get real light on the front end. Don't do no death grip on the handlebar, and punch out as hard as you can on the pedals, and put as much power to the rear wheel as you can possibly put together, and it will correct the bike, it'll straighten it out, and you'll be good as gold. It'll be great. So I had a lot of people that came up to me afterwards and said, gee, thanks so much, I had no idea, and I tried that. It works. It definitely works. And so that's the things you learn. We had this gorgeous dirt road we were on along the Housatonic this weekend. God, it's beautiful. I mentioned that earlier. It was so pretty, and it was so long. We were there for a long, long time, and just riding along the river, it's the old thing that Pedal and Ron says, when my hands are on the handlebars and the road is moving underneath me, the world is right. Well, the world was very, very right there. It was so beautiful and peaceful and wonderful. I had a good ride this weekend. It was fun. Anyway, that still brings us back to that same question. Why are people giving up on the road bike? I don't think you need to give up on the road bike. I think the road bike is great. I think that it's overrated how dangerous it may be with cars and traffic. You know, maybe it's different where you live. I don't know. It could be, I suppose. But I just find that I don't feel unsafe when I'm out riding on the road. I feel pretty confident still. And, you know, having that advancement of having the radar on the back of my bike, that has improved my confidence on the road. I just don't see it. And hey, pick a different road to ride on if it's so crazy and busy and dangerous. I know sometimes it might be the road you live on and you have to deal with that, but you can get off of it eventually. Find another road. Find another way around. Figure it out. There's tons of places you can ride your bike safely, even in busy, busy urban areas. Fran and I go down to Florida to see her mom, and, you know, riding a bicycle in Florida is semi-suicidal. It's really not really great. You've got a mix of large cars and trucks, along with drivers that are, let me see, how can I be kind about this? As old as or older than me, not that it should be a problem as you get older that you don't drive your car as well as you used to when you were younger or had the same reaction times and all that. But, you know, there's a large population of elderly people that live where Fran's mom lives, which is why Fran's mom lives there. That's the whole point. But there's some risk involved. Do I feel better if I have a radar on the back of my bike? Certainly down there. Oh my God, yes. Absolutely. It's essential. They do have bike lanes. They do have trails. We ride on a trail down there, which is very, very nice. You got to watch. You got to be a little more aware. Mirrors and radars are pretty much required, I think, in high traffic situations. But we also, I have a friend Shout out to my friend Ellen, who lives down in Venice, Florida. And she moved down there a number of years ago. And she showed Fran one time, when Fran was down there, all the little neighborhood tricks of riding through the neighborhoods from one road to another road, but really kind of using all the places where people live and don't drive their cars as much because most of them are parked in the neighborhood, or they're just getting home or they're just leaving, but it reduces the number of cars, bringing me to Ron's rule of roads with names, not numbers. Yeah, stay off the main roads. Don't be silly. I know your main road is faster and it gives you a better Strava segment. I don't care. Really, it doesn't matter. You're not a professional racer. Or, as I said earlier, if you are, reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. But if you're going to stay alive out on the road, you got to think like in a different way. You got to think like a cyclist. You got to think like, I want to do this for the rest of my life, and I don't want my life to be over with every time I get on a bike. That's not what you're looking for. So be smart about it. And, you know, you could still have the gravel bike. You could still do the gravel thing. It's really fun. I will say it is fun. Is it the thing that I'm just driving to do, like, because I can't wait for the next gravel ride? Absolutely not. I just like to ride my bike. And if I happen to see a dirt road on my ride that I can turn down onto because, hey, I haven't been down that one before, that looks cool, I'm going to do it on any tires. I'm not going to have a gravel bike for it. I'm going to do it on my road bike. Or, you know, better yet, find yourself a good, if you're looking for a new bike and you're looking for the possibility of a gravel bike, why not get a gravel bike and a set of road wheels with it? So you have an option of going back and forth. Yeah, it's going to be a little heavier. It's going to be a little slower, but it can function just like a road bike can, and you're able to use it in that manner. So can you use a gravel bike as a road bike? And then this is where we get into the next part of my discussion today. And the answer is you can definitely use a gravel bike as a road bike. There are a few small limitations you might run into depending on how you like to ride, but it could be important, but or it may not be important at all. So yeah, okay, what are my limitations? Well, your limitation for the first one I think of is the gravel bike's gonna be heavy. But is that a problem when your gravel bike is also much more comfortable and you've got more rubber on the road because of it, because you're not bouncing around all over the place? That's a good thing. So if you're a road bike racer, then gravel bike is probably not going to work as well as a primary bike. But if you're not a racer and you're just a casual rider or a recreational rider, maybe you're a rider that, you know, pumps out, I don't know, 5,000 to 10,000 miles a year. Is a gravel bike for you? It might be, because you know what? That's a lot of punishments, a lot of bouncing around. And like I said, unless you're out to win, you know, the Tour de France or whatever it is that you're trying to prove to anyone, maybe it's your weekend or your weekday competitive road ride. I'll just leave it at that. Group ride. Group rides that are competitive. Oh, boy. Scares me. I only like to do group rides that are competitive with people that I know. Otherwise, I don't want to get involved. It's just too sketchy as far as I'm concerned. So many gravel bikes have one-by chain rings on them. So you got one chain ring in the front. You got this big old gear ratio in the back. And I'm talking big time. Big old pie plate in the back. And it won't have enough high gears when the speeds get super fast, like 26 or 30 miles an hour or faster. But who does that? Who does that? I look at people's Strava accounts and their average speed is 12 miles an hour or 15 miles an hour, or maybe they were on a really fast ride and the average speed was 18 miles an hour. Nobody goes that fast. So who cares? Who cares? If you're in a road race, then yeah, you care. You care because you are going to go that fast. So 26 to 30 miles an hour is not unachievable. But, you know, for the normal everyday riding that you're going to be doing, even if you're using it for training, fitness, recreational riding, whatever it is, you don't need speed. You don't need speed. Speed kills. Not good. Anyway, most of the time you're probably riding by yourself, maybe with a couple of friends, and, you know, you're going to keep a more reasonable pace, and that's what you're going to do. So it really doesn't matter, because it's way more comfortable than a traditional road bike is, because it's got a longer wheelbase on it. It's got fatter tires. And again, you can change the tires out. You can select what it is you like to ride on. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You can use a gravel bike for a lot of things. For years, even when back in the day when I had my bicycle shop, and this goes way back because I sold my bike shop in the 90s, I used to sell cyclocross bikes to people that would come in and say, you know, I want a road bike that goes fairly fast, but I don't know. I'm getting a little beat up on my bike, and I want something a little more comfortable. And then I would just turn them onto a cross bike. And problem solved. It's a little bit softer. It's a little bit longer wheelbase. Yeah, it's got a little higher bottom bracket geometry, which makes it a little different on the downhills, but not enough for most people to even notice or care about. And you can put wider tires on them. And I think it's really the answer, but I've been a cyclocross bike guy forever, and that's just who I am and what I do. And so there it is. There it is. Let's see what we got going on here. I kind of spaced out on my timing here, so I'm not really sure where I stand as far as time goes. Is Fran still here? Fran, you are still here. Can you see on my live feed how deep in here I am or not? That would be helpful.
Yes, you are 45 minutes in.
Thank you very much. Give me a warning when it gets to be around 50. Thank you. Right. So, anyway, the next thing I have on my list is, let's see, what else is on the list? Okay, so cyclocross bike versus gravel bike. So what do you think? Should I use a cyclocross bike or a gravel bike? Yeah, you should. Either one, doesn't matter. I rode yesterday on a gravel ride on my faithful old Ritchie Swiss Cross steel cyclocross bike. It's great. I can put wide tires on it. I've got plenty of clearance. Some of the really old cyclocross bikes may not have enough clearance. I got plenty of clearance. I can put a 38C tire on the back on that bike. So that in my world is enough for me. I know a lot of these gravel bikes are coming through with 42 and 44C tires, and they're really, really wide. No, I can't put that on my bike. But I can go all those places that anybody goes on their gravel bike without any trouble. Shoot, I can do it on my road bike on 28C tires or even less. So, you know, I like the cyclocross bikes for general riding. Anyway, I mean, I can put a set of road wheels on it in the early season, and I can go out and get it all sloppy and not care because it's my cross bike, and I can ride on a comfortable ride while I'm getting base miles in early in the spring. The cross bike is just a great answer. And then if I want to do a gravel event, I can just use my cross bike. So my answer here is, yes, you can use a cyclocross bike as a gravel bike. I see no reason why not. I've even modified the gearing on mine. I do not have the giant pie plate gearing with the one by in the front. I've got a two gears in the front, and I took an old triple crank set, and I used the inside 22 tooth chain ring, and the outside is a 32 tooth chain ring. I think 32 or 34, can't remember exactly, but I got lots of gears. I got tons of gears, and it works just fine. So whatever. Can you adapt your cross bike for general off-road riding? I got a little bullet points here. And yeah, you can. I have shown up on numerous quote-unquote mountain bike rides with my cross bike. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to ride it over, you know, gigantic logs and weird stuff like sometimes these mountain bike folks get into, but I can pretty much go where they go, and it's not a problem. And if I can't, I have the ability to get off my bike, throw it on my shoulder, and run with it, and I'm fine. I'm still at point A to B faster than they are. Not that speed matters, because you got to be careful going fast off-road. You can get hurt. You got to be careful going fast anywhere. You can get hurt, but that's it. That's all I got. I'm going to move on. Mansfield Hollow, October 15th. Yeah, this is a classic. It's next Sunday, and it is at Mansfield Hollow State Park. If you are local and in the area, we would love to see you. You can go on Bike Ridge and sign up. Please sign up early if you can. I need more people to sign up to pay my bills so that I can continue to put on a great race, and I would love to see you there. If you are watching this video and you are local, or if you are listening to this podcast and you are local, then you can simply reach out to me, please. I could use some help. I could use some serious help. So I am going to give you a little bit of a preview of what to expect, because Keith and I have been down there playing around on the course, and we've got some ideas. Some things to expect is the Belgian Steps will be back next year. All right. The Belgian Steps are basically built into a slight grade uphill. Unfortunately, it is after a long uphill. So by the time you get to the base of the Belgian Steps, we had very, very few riders that were able to ride the Belgian Steps. If you don't know what a Belgian Step is, you can go online, you can look it up. Be careful, because it's also a landscaper term. So make sure you Google Belgian Steps for cyclocross, and then you'll see a little bit more of what it's all about. Now, when you do that, you're also going to see a number of stairs type situations that these riders get into when they're racing cross. And you'll see that there are a few extremely talented people out there that can actually ride up steps with very little trouble whatsoever. And they do this, they do something called the pump hop. Okay, how to do a pump hop. You're centered, you've got heavy feet, light hands as always. Arms are making angles and maintaining balance, but they're pretty relaxed. The real power comes from your hips and your legs, supported by a strong core. On the uphill side of each step is a tiny little backside. By pushing into these backsides, the riders generate propulsion and unweight over the stairs. That's a win-win. Cyclocross bikes can be an extremely quick and responsive pump machine. It doesn't take that much backside to make them go. Very few of the people in the United States race cross at this level. There's fewer that can be this good under pressure with maxed out heart rates. That's another thing about cross. You're kind of running on the red line anyway. So you try pumping up the rises on your next rolling descent, and then with some pedaling, you try to pump your way up technical climbs. So you're kind of pushing and pulling your way up and just hopping your way up the stairs like they're not even there. I'm not good at this. I would need to do some serious practicing and learning, and I don't know if I'm up for that learning curve right now. But anyway, that's what I got for you. We will have Belgian Steps again. We will have another barrier, maybe two, not sure. I think we definitely are having one other barrier, which will be dismountable, or for those of you who are talented, you can ride over them. I am not that talented. I like to get off my bike and run. I find it to be faster, but that's all up to you and to the rider and the situation that you're in at the time. We have our same old off-camber that we have out by the road. That is going to be similar to what it has been in the past. We have a few different changes in our pit area entries and exits, and everything is going to be very contained right around the start-finish area. That's going to be similar. We're using the downhill dirt section that we used last year that I cut as a new feature to the course. It's fun, it's fast, it winds through trees. Yes, you do have to be careful. You don't want to hit a tree, but it's wide enough to clear everything. So that is also there. When we're coming back up out of that area, we have changed the direction of which we're coming through there, and we're avoiding a very, very nastily washed out section on our dirt road, which has become treacherous. So we've made a couple little changes there. I kind of like them. They're nice. It's got still got a great flow. It's Mansfield Hollow. It always has a good flow. I hope to see you there. If you're not coming there to race and you're coming there to watch, okay, there are, I've got a little segment here today of the five off the bike essentials for being a great spectator at a cyclocross race. Yeah, there's like, you know, things that you can see and do when you come to a cross race. You don't necessarily have to be a cyclocross racer to go to a cyclocross race. You can go there to watch. It's really entertaining. And maybe one of your friends is doing it. That's a possibility too. You may have a friend who's racing and they, you know, they might be able to entertain you with their antics out there. It's all good. It's all fun. So, yeah. So you might want to consider coming and watching. So there are things that you might want to consider doing if you're going to watch. Thank you. Very good. Five off the bike essentials for being a great spectator at your local cyclocross race. Number one, cowbells. Cowbells. What is it? What is it, Fran? More cowbell.
More cowbell.
Yeah. Cowbells are great. One is plenty. Two is fine. Eight are great. You know, whatever, how many, ever many cowbells, as much noise as you can make when the riders go by, it just really makes a great time. You can use other noisemakers such as, you know, vuvuzelas, horns and drums. Nothing gets the racers more pumped up than when you're making a lot of noise when they go by. That's a good thing. We're not going to do cash for dollar grabs at our race because we don't do that. But I have seen it at other races where people put cash in various parts of their body and that the riders come by and they grab the cash away from them as they go by. Yeah, it's a fun thing to do. I'm not going to do it. Somehow that seems to be related to the beer tent, which is also something that we can't do because we're in a state park. Flags. You can show your support with a flag. Wave your flag. Costumes. Yeah, dress up. Have fun. We have a chicken. You know, you can do this. If you have a Halloween costume or whatever you want to wear, come to the cross race. It'll be great. And, of course, cardboard heads. If you have a cardboard head, then that is also a cool thing you can do. I am completely running out of time here, so I got to move on. I hope to see some of you at Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross this year. It is this Sunday coming up. We do have pre-rides and practices on Thursday evenings. So please, please, please come by and check it all out. Ongoing, there is the bicycle game in Hartford. Still going on at the Hartford, at the Connecticut Historical Society. The 2023 cross season is off and running. We've been through the Newtown Cross in Connecticut. We are Mansfield this weekend. We got Belltown Cross the following weekend. October 29th will be Moran Cross, a new event by Laurel Bicycle Club, and November 5th, Cheshire Cross in Cheshire, and December 3rd, the Governor's Guard Rodeo. And remember, the Nationals are in Louisville this year from December 5th through December 10th. Okay, finishing points, gravel versus road. What's your opinion? Tell me what it is. We'll get back to this. Hopefully I'll see you at Mansfield. We can talk about that next week. I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day. Park that car or truck. Ride your bike instead. You may surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, Fran Storch. This is where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news on cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. This is Pedal and Run. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. maybe your cyclocross bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening.